Now more than ever, we need encouragement, and we can share encouragement as we open God's Word together with Dr. Don Wilton. The Encouraging Word. It's all about the Bible. It's the Scripture that we're looking forward to hearing from today. Dr. Don tells you many, many times it's his greatest prayer that you would just forget about Don and hear the voice of God through the Scriptures we'll be studying together today on We the People. Dr. Wilton will unpack that in just a moment, but he's insisted that I remind you we are here to talk and pray right now with you. Wherever you are, we can go keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or let's discover what I think many of us are realizing in this time of separation. A conversation is a blessing. Call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
The Bible deals greatly with the subject of bearing one another's burdens. What affects one affects all. The Bible tells me a great deal about what it means to really love one another. Being kind to one another. The Bible deals with issues like safety and order. The Bible deals with impartiality and justice. How to respond to authority. And when we try to ask ourselves, what is it that God would say to we, the people? And we look to the Lord Jesus, and you study the life of the Lord Jesus, you very quickly come to understand that the Lord Jesus was well acquainted with suffering. He really knew what it was to hurt. And there's some very, very hurting people in our land. Jesus understood the issue of justice and injustice. He dealt almost on a daily basis, did Jesus, with racial tension, prejudice by one group of people toward another, issues of superiority. Jesus knew what wrongful treatment was all about. He knew what it meant to be singled out because of his culture, because of his religion, because of the color of his skin. He knew what it was to be mocked, to be belittled. He knew what it was to be picked on for no other reason than he was a Jew. Jesus did that. Jesus dealt with surprise tragedies, shocking deaths, unmitigated grief. Jesus knew all of these things. Jesus Christ has the ability not only to understand what it is that we're dealing with, we the people, but what I love most of all is that the Lord Jesus has the power to respond. And he'll do that for us. I'm going to ask you to turn to just one passage. We're going to be in Psalm 139. I invite you to take your Bibles. If the Bible, in fact, is our authority for life, as a Christian man, this is my guiding light. This is the decision that I make. Whilst I value the court of public opinion in America today, evidently the court of public opinion will never produce the peace that all of us desire. Nor will the person in the White House, nor will be a new law. What's got to happen is we've got to deal with the heart. And God, by His Spirit, deals with my heart. The greatest testimony that anybody could say of any of us who claim to know Christ is that we've been changed in our hearts. And in Psalm 139, I'm going to read only two verses to you. Verses 23 and 24. Listen to what the psalmist said. Search me, O God, and know my heart. try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the paths, the way of righteousness. Lead me according to that which is right, according to God. We're talking about we the people. What would God say to us? I've got to look to Him, because there are some very important issues in this. I need to know what God would say to me, because I really want to. I want to weep with those who weep. I want to respect all people without partiality. I want God to take the color out of my eyes. I want to love unconditionally. I want to love all people with a personal, empathetic love, not a cultural love, not a demeaning love, not a prejudicial love. I want to be doing what I do in an attitude of deep and abiding humility. And I don't have that within myself. I want to be open to know what it is that I need to do as an American citizen to make a difference in my world. I don't want to just become a reactionary. When you just react, violence will never satisfy violence. It's never the answer. In America, if we continue to believe that we ourselves are the masters of what we believe ought and ought not to be done, even within the context of our democratic republic, these principles upon which we have been founded will be declared null and void, and our own democratic republic will plunge into unmitigated chaos that would make Syria and Iraq and Libya look like a children's playground. What would God say to us? I think when we begin to try to understand some of these things, I have to set in my mind some very deep principles. This is where I want to end up. Here's what I want to do. What I believe we need to do. Number one, we need to pray courageously. Number two, we need to reflect honestly. Number three, we need to confess openly. Number four, we need to love unconditionally. Number five, we need to serve one another tirelessly. And number six, we need to trust God totally. Now, hold that. How do we get to that point? The psalmist evidently understood what it was that he needed to do within the context of the turmoil in which he found himself, both personally, culturally, nationally, and in his world, internationally. David turned to God. And if he asked that question and we ask that question, what would God say? He would say four things. Number one, God would say to us today, I want to search you. I want to search you. What would God say to us today? What is God saying to me? What is God saying to America? I want to search you. That's what he said. Search me, O God. Do you know what happened since 9/11, the scourge of 9/11? Security in this country went to and is at an all-time high. You travel somewhere today, particularly on an airplane, you go to the airport, you have to go through Every kind of search one can possibly imagine. I have personally, like you have, from time to time, it's very rare, but I've personally, from time to time, seen some people get extremely annoyed and irritated. Well, I choose safety over being annoyed and irritated. If standing there and having to raise my hands, be patted down, unpack my suitcases, take my shoes off and your belt and this and put that in and stand in a line, if all that means that I can be delivered safely to my destination, I'm in. What seems to be your problem? That's what David's talking about. What would God say to us? God is saying to you and to me in America today, I want to search you. I'm going to strip you down inside and out. Because if you are going to be the kind of person that I would want you to be, you need to submit yourself to my scanning machine. You need to go through my X-ray. What would God say to us today? Second, I want to test you. It's the word he uses, try me, test you. Why would God want to test us? Because the testing that God puts in our lives, recognized and accepted by each one of us, is the very means by which our faith is strengthened.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of Dr. Wilton's message, We the People, in just a moment. But Dr. Don wants me to remind us, when we think about that concept of being strengthened and having our faith strengthened, you need to know we're here to help do that with you, to help put resources in your hands, like the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. It's absolutely free, whether you want a hard copy that we produce and print that has a quarterly version of that, 3 months for it, or if you wanted to sign up online for the email. You can do that right now at tewonline.org. Just click on the icon to sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email. And I pray that you would consider making it a part of your discipline as a disciple every day. If you launch your day in God's Word, it'll change everything about that day. That and more resources, again, are online at tewonline.org. We'd love to connect with you. Now let's dive back into today's message with Dr. Don Wilton, called We the People.
God here looks into the heart of his servant David, and he said, you want to be the kind of man that I require you to be? I want to search you and I want to test you. Number three, I want to know you. That little word there, know my thoughts, really is borrowed from an incredible Hebrew dynamic, which means that God literally wants to expose us. Do you know how many of those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus are not willing for God to expose us? Because when we become exposed, the deep secrets of our hearts are really known. Racial prejudice can lurk very deep down in the hearts of people. Unkindness, double standards, maliciousness, hate, and unwillingness to listen, a lack of humility. He said, I want to know you. God wants to expose us, not in order to shame us, but in order to bring out that which is in. There are two levels in America. There's the sea to shining sea level, and then just below the surface, we're beginning to see it. And how long has it been there? I want to search you. I want to test you. I want to know you. I want to lead you. You know that last phrase there in verse 24, and lead me in the way everlasting. Really, in the King James Version, the word there better rendered, lead me in your paths of righteousness. That word righteousness is a marvelous word, because it brings to bear the right way according to God. That's what we're asking here. Lord, what would you say? And he said, look, here's what happens. If you're willing to allow me to search you and to test you and to know you, here's what I'm going to do. I'll lead you. Remember, now we're talking about our Heavenly Father. We're talking about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. We're talking about the Lord Jesus here, who understood suffering and injustice and racial tension and wrongful treatment and surprise tragedies. Remember that we're dealing here with the preciousness of God's Word and the indwelling power and presence of the Spirit of the living God. This is what God does, because Jesus Christ has not only the ability to understand what we're going through, but he also has the power by his Spirit to enable you and me to respond in a manner that would be pleasing to him. And when we please God, that's when we'll start to come together. And what has happened in our nation, folks, is we are suffering the consequence of banning the Bible from our schools. Our children no longer hear the value of God's Ten Commandments. We've removed it from our state capitals and from our courthouses. We've banished God to the back rooms and to the cells, the prison cells that dwell underneath America, instead of holding high the banner of God's righteousness. Said, I'll lead you. Because when I lead you, number one, you will understand why and how I created you. When God leads us, we understand why and how God created us. Do you know why God created us? God created us in order that we, the people, might have fellowship with him and might be led by him. I'm a Christian man. I want to have a fresh understanding of why God has me here. And when he leads me, he gives me that fresh understanding of why and how I was created in the image of God. When I understand how and why I was created, I look at my fellow man. And I no longer see my fellow man as a black man and a white man and a red man and a yellow man. When this tragedy happened, I went to my Twitter account. I said to myself, what can I say to these thousands of people who follow me? I made one statement: red, yellow, black, white. All people are precious in God's sight. Hashtag pray for America. You see, when God leads me, I begin to have a fresh understanding of why and how we were created. God tells us, he says, look, when I lead you, you will understand, secondly, how sinful you are. Do you know what we're looking at in America? The sinfulness of man. The Bible tells us that the heart of man is exceedingly wicked. See, when God leads us, we not only understand why and how God created us, but we begin to have a fresh understanding and a realization of just how sinful we are in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. I am a sinner. Because of my sinfulness, I battle with all of these issues, with anger and frustration and with racial prejudice and partiality and all of these things. These are not little bywords. They're not just little snapshots here and snapshots there. These are deep and abiding. These are blood-related things that the American people are dealing with, folks. This is real stuff. Oh, yes, I want to lead you, God said to David. Because when I lead you, you will not only understand why and how you were created, you'll not only understand how sinful you are, but you'll understand how incapable you are of fixing your own problems. I'm going to make an announcement, America. We, the people, are incapable of fixing our own problems. We cannot do it. I mean, you just think about this. Just think about America, folks. Have you traveled to some other places in the world? You and I can sit there and look at our TVs and say, gosh, look at the way they behave over there, and look at this and look at that. We point fingers at all these religions and these people and these dictatorships and all this decadence that goes on, and all these people behaving like this, and all the suppression and all the rest of it going on. And look at us. Are we proud of ourselves? This is America. What's happening to the American dream? And we have proven to ourselves that we cannot fix our heart problem. That's why God said to David, listen, I'll lead you. If you let me lead you, I'll show you why I made you, what your purpose is, and I'll show you how sinful you are, but I'm also going to show you how incapable you are. We've developed in America such an attitude of superiority, like we've got a corner on something. Like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to export our brand of democracy around the world and tell everybody else how to run themselves. Look at us. And God loves every one of us. He's given us something incredible. Our founding fathers must be rolling over in their grave looking at the way we are acting right now. In God we trust. I'll lead you. Number four, I'll lead you because when I do, you will understand why you cannot do without me. I love that. You'll really understand why you cannot do without me. We can't do. I love that song, without him, I can do nothing. You know, the most wonderful part about knowing the Lord Jesus, that when he comes into your heart, he changes you from inside out. I want to be that person. I want to be a change maker. So what does this mean for us? Here it is, six things. This is what I want us to consider coming out of this. Number one, this is what we need to do. Number one, I think we need to pray courageously. Courageous prayer means, Lord, I'm going to ask you to confront me. That's a courageous prayer. Change me. Change my heart, O God. Number two, to reflect honestly. I have to look into my own heart, into my own pride and prejudice, my own lack of humility, my own condemning spirit, my own attitude, my own way of solving things. Number three, we've got to confess openly. I want God to so get a hold of my life that I'm willing to say, I'm willing to go to a person and say, you know what? I've got a prejudice against you. I'm acting unkindly. So I'm so sorry that I've been so proud and arrogant. Telling you, you and I can make a big difference right here in our own town. Number four, to love unconditionally. You know what it means to love unconditionally? When you love unconditionally, you will respect other people impartially. When you love unconditionally, with Christ's love, you will automatically respect other people impartially. You're going to respect them. And your respect born out of that love is not based on the color of their skin or where they live or what they've done or how they look. We've got to serve tirelessly. I believe we've got to up the antenna of getting out there in our communities, giving it away, being a blessing to others, serving others, making a difference. So many do this so well. Let's all of us do this even better. And then number six, we've got to trust God totally. This is a man problem, but it's a God solution. This is a problem you and I have. You know, when we do this, you'll all of a sudden start finding you're going to weep with those who weep. You're going to have a newfound empathy. God's going to remove the finger pointing and the condemnation, the racial prejudice out of you. I want God to do that for me because only God can do it, because only Jesus Christ has the ability to understand what we're going through. But he also has the power to respond to it. And as believers, we need to be difference makers. And here are the six things I want you to hold on to. Pray courageously. Reflect honestly. Confess openly. Love unconditionally. Serve tirelessly. Trust God totally. Our God is a great God.
Indeed, our God is a great God. And maybe you have walked through a lot of your days going, I know God is a good God. I know God made me. I believe God created this earth. But you just know about God and you don't know Him personally. This is so important to me because I spent many years of my life knowing about God but not knowing Him. You can know Him today as your Lord and Savior. It's the most important decision you can make. I pray you'd open your heart and open your mind to what God may be wanting you to do right now as you listen to Dr. Don Wilson.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much.
Perhaps God's done something unique in these last few moments with Dr. Wilton. And if so, I pray you would let us walk you through the next steps. We'd love to pray for you, pray with you, put some resources in your hands. Maybe through all this, there are still some questions you have about what it is to give your life to Jesus. Or we'd love to just spend some moments talking through that, digging through Scripture, and again, praying for you at 866-899-WORD. I know that many times we think, well, I'm more of a texter typer, but right now, as we are kind of separated to a certain degree, it's a great time to enjoy the conversation, enjoy someone praying for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. Here are all the details.
Everywhere there are people who want to know the truth. Our mission at The Encouraging Word is to share God's truth with a searching world. We have a deep and abiding conviction in our hearts that Jesus Christ has an encouraging word for each of us. We would love to send you some information on how you can learn more about our ministry. You need to know who you are listening to. The world is full of false prophets. Our desire is to help you connect more to God, encourage you on your Christian journey, and to help you engage the world for Christ. Call us at 866-899-9673 and say, I want to know more about The Encouraging Word, and we will send some information to you. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Until next time, take care and God bless. And let's stay connected. 866-899-WORD is the phone number, and we're together online at tewonline.org.